Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And thank you, Father, for giving wisdom today and bringing all things to the remembrance of our brethren that they may need in the future. Thank you so much, Father. Amen. All right, Saints, we are going to do prayer, judgment, and revival number 2. And I'm going to share a revelation to you from Brandon here, going over what the Lord showed me about the asteroid that's coming, the first one. I want to share some things with you. Here's a portion of that transcript, and I'll make some comments. All right, speaking of the revival, the Lord said, "Heaven and earth are about to collide with the greatest harvest of souls and the greatest demonstration and manifestation of my glory that this world has ever seen before." In a 24-hour period, he said, quote, "Brandon, everything you know will change. We're at the point of no return. We're at the point, it's time to push. It's time to push." I believe this is probably talking about laboring to bring forth the man-child body, which will bring the revival as it was with Jesus, the man-child. History repeats on a larger scale, the Lord told me many years ago. He said, "You're looking at a thin thread. Remember that hair-thin thread I saw coming up. I said, Adam's lease is coming up. Do you understand? We're about to step over the water's edge. We're about to step over the waterfall." I believe this means revival, you know. In other words, under a downpouring, right? And the Lord said, "You're about to see something I long for you to see." Why? Because it was there, the lease. It was Adam's time frame of a 6,000-year window. Now we're about to step into the 7,000-year window with the 7-year tribulation. Well, according to numeric Bible chronology, we are already in that 1,000-year Sabbath, but men are breaking it by their works, so tribulation comes. Okay? We're about to see, he went on to say, some radical things, radical and amazing things with the Holy Ghost and fire like we've never seen it before. We've only seen glimpses of it. The Lord said, "You're only seeing glimpses of it with Azusa Street, with the Welsh revival." And I might add, some people have been doing greater works for quite a long time. He goes on to say, "These only lasted for just a short window. But Brandon, what I'm about to do, all those others will pale in comparison to what is about to happen in these last days." Absolutely. Amen. But he said, "I have to give you a warning about the plague. I have to tell you to stand and pray and tell the people that I'm coming." And he talked about Psalm 91. Well, we know he will come to us as the latter rain to once again heal the plagues of men as Jesus did in the former rain, right? He was the first one to receive it. And then I saw an asteroid, and he was talking about this telescope called Lucifer. And then he called it Satan. Well, I've read about that. The Vatican's telescope was originally called Lucifer, but was changed to Lucy in 2012 to avoid controversy, obviously. He went on to say, I thought how this was a very demonic name, and I wondered if I was hearing this right. And is this the Lord or Satan? And I saw this telescope in the Arizona West, and it is massive. Well, that's true, and that's where Lucy is, in the Arizona West. So I believe that's it. The lens on it was ginormous. As I was looking at this, I saw men wearing white lab coats, and they were talking and writing things down. They said, the odds are in our favor, quote unquote, and, quote, it's unlikely this will happen, unquote. China was involved, and they were communicating back and forth about what they were seeing coming. China said, quote, this is going to hit. This is serious, unquote. But the people in America were like, I don't know. I don't think so, quote unquote. But China was taking it seriously. They were freaking out. I could see these educated Chinese men calculating and talking back and forth. They knew something serious was about to happen and that we were not going to divert it. As I was looking over into outer space, I saw a massive rock heading towards Earth. They said we were not telling them because it would cause panic. But the odds are in our favor that it will not happen, that it will miss. But it will not, Brandon said. I saw other space debris by this major rock, and it was a massive piece of rock like the size of a planet. Well, let me say that no one would survive the largest rock that he mentions here. There would be no tribulation, and we know that's not true. But I'll read on and you can understand more, I think. And there was a smaller one beside it. And there were ones that they would call or consider to be, and I heard the word, planet killers were behind it, like bunches of them. As this thing was moving and all the others with it, it looked like a debris field behind it. Well, if it's a planet killer, again, it can't hit Earth. Because we are still just before the tribulation and the great and terrible day of the Lord. So, Earth can generally survive impacts from asteroids smaller than about 0.6 miles or 1 kilometer in diameter, as these are less likely to cause catastrophic damage. However, an asteroid around 7 to 8 miles, that's 11 to 12 kilometers wide, could potentially wipe out most of Earth. So it could be in between these, I'm guessing, just a wild guess, you know. But it couldn't be the biggest stuff, couldn't be a planet killer, it couldn't, you know. It's something in the tail, I would say. So I'm not doubting at all Brandon's revelation. He's been very accurate. I have no doubt that a rock in the tail will hit. And the Lord said, he went on to say, watch the sun, watch the tides, for things are going to change and change quickly. Your water and your waves, the way the tides come in and go out because of the moon. Things are going to start to shift like you've never seen before. The tides are going to act very strangely, and they will be higher than average. And they will come in further than what they're supposed to. When they pull back out, they will move out further than they are supposed to. And I heard this, and I could see it. Something was affecting the tides. This rock was something serious. The Lord said, watch the pressure on the earth, for a major volcano is about to erupt, and not just one volcano, but it will be multiple all at the same time. I saw earthquakes measuring more than 9.0 in more than one place. That's a huge earthquake. Just had an 8.8 over in Russia, right? They happened in multiple places at the same time. Well, that sounds like something is coming by. If the major rock and the smaller rock pass by, they could cause this very thing here. But like I say, the tail may be the thing that we're worried about. Even a flyby of this monster could do this, what it's being said here. But I suspect one or more from the tail will hit. And the Lord said, I told you and I warned you that it would affect the sun's light, the way it shines upon the earth, for it will create a disruption in the bird's migration. It will cause a difference in the timing of when animals breed, because it will confuse their natural instincts. All animals and creation were acting weird. Even the agriculture of the flowering and planting will be thrown off because of what's coming. I saw the magnetic poles and how the earth was shifting, and it was moving differently. Even the daytime will be different, and the way the earth spins will be different. That sounds like a tipping of the earth there, and likely a wobble is likely. Some people think it's a flat earth, but it's not. Amen, I agree, it's not possible. He said the sun will look different in the days ahead. You will need to hear him in the days ahead because of what I saw. And the Lord said, look at Venice, Italy. I could see the water in the city acting weird. There was flooding and a rise in the tides. There were water events. That's what I call them. Water events are about to take place in Italy that have never happened before because of what's happening to the earth. The Lord said, watch Venice, Italy, and watch Rome, and watch the volcano that's about to go off in Europe. This will be an event that is not just one in the ring of fire, but this will be a global event that starts taking place. Then I saw India, and the Lord said, look at India, for a lot of the pagan temples will be destroyed with earthquakes in the days ahead. I saw the glory of God coming in, and there were many in the harvest. I'm talking major revival throughout India. I saw monkeys on the temples and old shrines completely decimated by earthquakes. It was like when the walls of Jericho came down. Everything was flattened. There was nothing left. It was like rubble. And the Lord said, quote, I will bring in my presence, and I'm going to decimate those false gods and false places of worship. His presence, that's important. Okay. There will be a great revival throughout India and all throughout Asia. And I saw great Buddhist temples completely decimated when this takes place. They were shaken to the ground like piles of rubble. A major distraction is about to take place. So I asked the Lord more about this, and I asked him, is this about the two flying saucers? Is it the two alien ships that he had evidently seen, right? This is a deception that's about to take place, and it's false. It's demonic spirits. That's entirely possible. There is no such thing as aliens. I agree 100%. There will be things in the sky that are going to scare many people in the days ahead. thinking, this is E.T. They really exist. No, these are fallen angels. It's demonic. This will be how they will explain away the rapture of the church. Well, that's his theory, right? Okay, I'm just going to go on with this. People say, I don't believe in the rapture, but it's going to happen. Well, yes, it's going to happen, but it's not on this end of the tribulation. You can see our book, Hidden Manna. It clearly comes at the end of the tribulation. Okay, Hidden Manna. I'll put a link here. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, you need to get your houses ready. True, true. If you're not on fire for Jesus and your heart is not serving Jesus, today is the day. You need to get right with the Lord. People ask me when this will happen, and I don't know how long before this happens. I'm just here to warn you about what's coming. So I saw these major alien-looking ships, and I saw it go over the Vatican and go over the Mayan temples down in Mexico. And I asked the Lord, are there two of these? I've been praying about this, and he said, no, it's just one. So this is going to make everyone freak out because they will see it moving across the ocean and think it's more than one. It will be seen on TV. Then I saw little tiny ships coming out of the mothership that looked like balls of light, but it wasn't a real ship. Understand, this was a demonic-looking light that was traveling around, causing much confusion in our skies. I know this sounds way out there. I didn't even want to talk about it, but I'm instructed to. I'm here to warn you, as wild as it may seem, there will be fearful sights you will see that will bring you to your knees. I'm here to warn you of these things. The enemy does not play fair. He's trying to deceive people with what's coming and throwing many curveballs to try to deceive the nations. When the Antichrist comes, again, if you want to know the truth about the Antichrist, see Hidden Manna. I'll leave a link here. When the Antichrist comes on the scene and he says, hey, we have a solution for all the problems in the days ahead. I'm going to bring peace and prosperity. All you have to do is bow down and worship me on Fridays. And you're going to have to get a chip. But it's going to be a solution because we're going to take care of all of this with AI. AI has the cure for diseases. We're going to fix diabetes. We'll fix cancer. We'll fix autism. We're going to do all this through AI technology. If you just serve me on Fridays and do all that I tell you to do, we're going to fix all your ailments. You watch. This is how they get everybody with hook, line, and sinker. People will think that he's such a nice guy, this Antichrist he's talking about. They'll say, don't you know he has a plan to help everybody? It's coming. But I won't be here to see it. I won't be here, and none of you will be here to see it. Those of us who are believers and have our lamps full of oil. In other words, going to escape the tribulation. Right? Well, again, see Hidden Manna for absolute proof that we will all be here. Absolute proof. You will be overwhelmed by the proof. I heard the Lord say, pray. They're going to try to get another major virus in the days ahead. I have no doubt. I saw another major virus, and the Lord said, rise up and pray, church. Pray that the glorious church rises. I don't know if that means rapture or not. Probably not. People will be looking at us and asking us, do you have a solution for this new virus? Unquote. And we don't need to be handling this like we did COVID. You can either be hiding in your church or your houses because you're afraid of this thing, or we can be the glorious church and rise up and pray and take our authority over things. Amen. Amen, Brandon. You got it. Exodus 15 and 26, I will put none of the diseases upon thee. That's what the Lord said. And that's the people of faith, of course. There's a lot of people in Christianity that don't have any faith, and they don't believe the promises of God's divine health, and so on. Last time, in 2019, people were caught off guard, and I heard about it 6 months in advance, about how there was going to be a major virus. But I didn't have a platform to warn people like I do now. Yeah, I told people 3 years in advance that this thing was coming. The Lord told me, I'm giving you a window, Brandon. Pray and tell them that they're going to try to do it again. But this time it will be COVID on steroids, and it will be a whole different strand. I'm trying to warn you that they have a plan for the future, and it's not that far off. Well, we can pray most of this down, as you know, and anything about us personally who are abiding in Christ and the Scriptures, you know, can trust that the Lord will keep you, right? He went on, this will not just affect humans. I saw that it will also affect cattle and your pets. And I saw dogs, cattle, birds, everything lying dead everywhere. It was spreading to livestock everywhere like a plague. And it was like the Black Plague of Death, which was in Europe in 1346 through 1353. Well, I will say this, it has been reported that Gates gave a shot to a lot of cattle, and that was passing on to humans. So this could be happening now. It was spreading to livestock everywhere like a plague, and it was like the Black Plague of Death. Yes, it was awful. But the glorious church, remember, they had light in Goshen while it was dark in Egypt. Yes, that's true. And I'm telling you that in the household of faith, if you rise up, if you pray, and you read your Bible to know the word of God, it will be like he said, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh unto you. Psalm 91. And that's true if you believe it, but some people have been trained not to believe it. Well, that'll be trouble. I asked the Lord, what things can we stop? And he said, terrorist attacks, you can stop plots against the churches, but Brandon, you cannot stop Matthew 24, unquote. He said, quote, you can be at the right place at the right time, and it won't affect you because you're my beloved. But where I tell you to be and do what I tell you to do, hear me and be in sync with me at all times, and know that nothing will come nigh you. It won't come nigh your tent. Psalm 91. This is true. The Lord said, listen to me. Matthew 24 will take place, which says there will be wars and rumors of wars, plagues, pestilence, and earthquakes, in diverse places, massive storms, all these things, and seas and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear when they see all these things coming upon the earth. We're going to see things we've never seen before because the Bible says so. But there are certain things we can pray about and stop, and things we cannot stop. We can almost always lessen the effect of them, okay? The Lord is merciful. He wants us to know our prayers are being heard, so he can lessen the effect of something, even though he can't stop it if it's a biblical thing, right? So I'm telling you the things we cannot stop are going to happen, but they don't have to affect you. We're in here in this world, but we're not of this world, right? We're underneath the shadow of the Almighty, under His wings, and Him shall we trust. In Him shall we trust. And I know He's watching over me. His goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But it doesn't say I won't go through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil. His rod and His staff comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of all my enemies. He told me He would take care of me, and I believe Him with all my heart that He will. And that's the place where I want to see all of you too, regardless of what we are seeing coming, and the birth pangs too. He said, quote, as the labor pains that are coming upon a woman, Brandon, this is going to get really radical now, unquote. And he said that as we go from Rosh Hashanah and even more from September, I think that's like the 21st, when we hit this time frame, an acceleration of things is going to happen even on a greater level. But I'm giving you a window of financial outpouring. Believers, believer for it. I should be believed for it. Okay. Pray for Judge Torres and these judges to let go of the things and crypto that these corrupt people will set boundaries and laws and establish it, and that it will all be a blessing for the body of Christ. People need to be listening. It won't all come through certain investments that you think it will come through. Don't limit God in your natural minds. Think bigger. The Lord said, you're not thinking big enough. He told me, Brandon, I have a million and one ways to get you $1 million. Do you understand me? Quote, I am the God of more than enough. I will provide for your ministry. I will, and by the way, He'll provide for your needs too. I'll do whatever you need if you just ask me in faith. Do you understand? My hand is not short. Do you understand? He's an exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think to ask God. Yes, amen. This is true. And God has prepared for you for the tribulation. Many people are preparing for themselves, and they just need to stop and ask God and see what He says, right? And from what I've seen coming, you better get your house in order and your heart right before the Lord. You cannot be playing church anymore. If you thought COVID was bad, you haven't seen anything like what I've seen. For most people, it will steamroll them because their hearts are not ready and they're not right with the Lord. It's not time to play church anymore. You're either hot or cold, and if you're lukewarm, He will spew you out of His mouth. That literally means out of the mouth of the body of Christ. You may say, where's the grace in all this? I believe His grace is sufficient for every single one of you. But you need to be on the side where the devourer is rebuked. And He said He rebuked the devourer for your sake. You say, well, I'm a tither and I have tither's rights, quote unquote. You either believe what the Word of God says for His promises, like Psalm 91, or you are a doubter. A true believer believes that God will do what He says He will do. The Lord told me that there's too much static in the air. There are too many false prophetic words going forth. That's very true. They're listening to a familiar spirit and sometimes a religious spirit, right? And they're speaking to itching ears, and they are not warning you what I'm trying to tell you. And He said that you either speak for me or sit down and be quiet, because I'm telling you I saw judgments. The Lord said, judgment begins in my house first, and many people don't like that. But he said, I'm cleaning house, Brandon, and I'm really about to clean house. There will be righteous people rise up who have never had a platform before similar to mine. They will rise up and say exactly what he says to speak. And you're going to see signs and wonders that follow those who believe. Amen. That's the Greater Works ministry that is coming. And he said, the true demonstrations of the manifested presence of the sons of God. When you're moving and doing what he told us to do, you will see the signs and wonders. I believe it with all of my heart. I do too. And you're about to see things like we've never seen before. It's like it's time to be like it was for Jeremiah and all those other prophets of old. When they spoke for God, you'll see things. And you're going to start to see the manifestations of what they're saying. You're going to see healings and demonstrations in the glory. Well, it's already happening, as a matter of fact. Not like it's about to happen to prepare for tribulation, but it's already happening. We've seen greater works, you know, in our ministry. There is too much confusion and too many people parroting things. The Lord said, I'm dealing with this. He told me, your job is to tell what you see and what I'm telling you in prayer, and you relay what I'm saying. I don't consider myself a prophet, and I've said this before. Yep, even people that have a good prophetic gift, you know, can have theology that's off somewhat, and so that's why you need to seek the Lord for yourself, right? Amen. The Lord said, I want you to pray and intercede for the revival and lead my people to Jesus. That's your main priority right now. And he said, true prophetic voices will be leading people to Jesus. They'll have altar calls and tell people they're going to hell if they don't repent. They're telling people that Jesus is coming, like John the Baptist in the wilderness, eating locusts and honey. And telling everybody, quote, there's one coming. Jesus is coming, unquote. Yep. But here's the problem. History always repeats, and they missed the way Jesus was coming. And he came in a body of the son of David. He looked very natural on the outside. And the apostates missed him. And here, hidden manna could show us how he is coming in the first fruit sons of David, and then his elect before coming for us at the end. Okay? You'll learn all that there. It'll be backed up with lots of scripture. Just as in Jesus' day, he went on to say, the creation of God was waiting for a son to come with the word of deliverance from the curse of corruption, and so it is in our day. That is true. And if you know what the sun looks like, it's not going to be an individual, but it's going to be a 144,000restorers. Okay. Romans 8:19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God, plural, that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. In Jesus' day, spiritual children had led his creation into bondage to corrupt religion and sin, but God sent his Son to deliver them with the unleavened bread, and so it will be in our day. The foundations have been destroyed by many generations of children put in positions of leadership by those who have wanted their ears tickled, and in times of apostasy, God gives them what they want. Isaiah 3:4, on down, it says, "And I will give children to be their princes. Babes shall rule over them." And that's what's happening in the churches. "And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the old man," or the mature, "and the base against the honorable. And as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them." That's people who are supposed to receive seed instead of give seed, right? That's what the problem is. "O my people, they that lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." So God's solution will be to reveal his sons, whom he will use to restore a repentant remnant with the truth that sets free. In his first body, Jesus offered this deliverance to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Are they lost today too? Yes, they are. That's Matthew 10 and 6. So history repeats. There's a lost church out there and knows not exactly where they're supposed to go. And the people leading them have never been there, so they don't know where to go. And this was before the great falling away, but in the corporate man-child, Jesus will offer it to the called of the whole creation to restore the elect, right? Romans 8 and 22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." The work of the Spirit is to bring us to adoption, spirit, soul, and ultimately body. Jesus was the Son of God, abiding in the Son of Man, which he claimed both, right? He was the Son in spirit and soul when he still inhabited a body of the seed of David. That's according to Romans 1 and 3. His ability to walk fully in the kingdom came when he received his redeemed, glorified body. That's true. So shall it be with the man-child manifested sons. They will first manifest sonship in spirit and then progressively in soul through persecution and suffering, as it was with Jesus. Hebrews 5 and 8. History just repeats, right? "Though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation." Through this stage, the man-child sons will minister in power to the called of God. And it was with our pattern, Jesus, right? And according to our pattern, Jesus. So in Romans, we see that the last step of full adoption through the new body, Romans 8 and 23, "And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body." The redemption of our body. So our faith, like our Father's faith, quote, "calleth the things that are not as though they were," unquote, Romans 4 and 17. So we must claim our sonship before we see it. Galatians 3 and 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. The manifestation will come to those who walk by faith, holding the Son in the mirror," right? 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. Those who claim their sonship and the authority and privileges that go with it because of the redemption wrought in Christ are accounted as sons. We are justified, the Greek word means reckoned or accounted righteous. We are justified by faith in Christ. Yeah, and everything that he says, even these things that we think kind of odd, right? That's 2 and 16. If I believe that I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me, that's verse 20, then I am a son by faith, even if I am not yet a son by manifestation. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Know therefore that they that are of faith, the same are sons of Abraham. Therefore, if we have received the Spirit of Christ and believe that he now lives in us to do his works, we're sons by faith. 4 and 6. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. So there are many bondservants out there, okay, and much fewer sons. But the people don't know that they're supposed to be believing to come into the image of Jesus Christ. And those who live as joint heirs with Christ are walking in the faith of sonship and will manifest his works by God's power. Jesus said, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. That's John 14 and 12. So God's carefully bringing his servants / children who walk by faith to manifest sonship. First the man-child, and then those disciples who follow in his steps. Proverbs 29 and 21. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. There you go. And while the apostates were waiting for the coming Messiah, he was being manifest in their midst as a man-child born to a woman, and they didn't recognize him. According to this type, the apostates in our day are waiting for Jesus to come in the sky to save them. They do not understand that he will come first, manifested in the man-child. The Son will come to be manifested only in those children who abide in him. This is what the manifestation of sonship is. Those who do not manifest sonship will be ashamed, like the man without the wedding garment, when they physically see Jesus. 1 John 2 and 28 says, And now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, that means in us through sonship, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The Greek word for coming there is parousia, and it means his physical presence. The first part is his coming in you, notice. And now he's talking about you won't be ashamed when he physically comes. So both the ancient manuscripts and the numeric pattern say, if he be manifested. That's the New English, numeric English New Testament. If shows that only the children who manifest Jesus or sonship will not be ashamed when he comes, because they've taken advantage of the promises of God, right? And the KJV translated this as when he shall appear, has no backing whatsoever. And they said this when because they thought this was a reference to Jesus' physical coming, which it is not. And in the text you can tell that. So, and we know that Jesus' physical coming is a when and not an if, okay? But this is an if. If he's manifested in you, you won't be ashamed when he physically comes. A major problem with this translation is that it has Jesus coming twice at the same time. It says, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's the KJV. However, manifested here is the Greek word phaneru, meaning to appear or make visible. It comes from the root word fan, meaning to shine. The same word used in many other places plainly shows us that the glory of Jesus will shine out of our mortal bodies, Romans 8:11, to appear to the world, 2 Corinthians 4:11. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested, Greek phaneru, meaning shining appearance. There it is. He's going to be glorified in his people before he comes for his people. Because it goes on to say, in our mortal flesh. That Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Obviously, this is a spiritual shining out of us of the righteous glory of God. But sometimes God allows even lost people to see it. And somewhere around 1984, I was witnessing to a man who said, I saw you some years ago, and there was a light shining out of you wherever you went. And I wondered what it meant, unquote. Well, verse 6, seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You are to see Jesus Christ in the mirror until it manifests. Notice in the same text that if we know the true face of Jesus Christ in the mirror by faith, his glory will shine in us. Here it is, 3:18. But we all with an unveiled face, not many have an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, there it is, the shining forth, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Yep. And Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested in us, that's what it's talking about, then shall you also with him be manifested, that's the shining appearance, in glory. There it is, shining out of God's people. He's coming in his people before he comes for his people. Thank God. Remember, the last enemy to be conquered is death. They want to tell you before the tribulation, before the beast, before the harlot persecutes, that's when you're going to fly away. Well, that doesn't fit scripture, and that's not even possible. So back in our 1 John text, we see that when we are children, he has not yet made his shining appearance in us. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we children. Greek technon. Now are we children of God, and it's not yet made manifest, the shining appearance, what we shall be. If he makes his shining appearance in us, we shall be like him, quote unquote, it says. We know that if he shall be manifested, that's his shining appearance, in other words, in us, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. Where? In the mirror. It has to be the real Jesus. Lots of people have a false Jesus, another Jesus, Paul called it, right? And they're coming into the image of their false Jesus. And they think their religion is right, and therefore it must be more right than the scriptures. So the ancient manuscripts, the numeric pattern, and the received text all say, if he be manifested, quote unquote, here. Notice also that those who see him even as he is, quote unquote, in the mirror by faith, shall be like him, quote unquote. We must believe that as he is, even so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. You're claiming it now. So the rest of this text confirms this manifestation of Jesus will come in those who have a confident expectation of it. 1 John 3:3, and every one that hath this hope, the Greek word is a good, confident expectation. Everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Wow. Can we purify ourselves as he is pure? Those who have a confident expectation of this manifestation of Christ in them will receive grace to walk in it. This is God's creation. He's creating us in his image. It's not our ability. They say, we can't do that. You're right. We can't do that, but we can have faith in him and he can do it. Can you say that Jesus can't do it? That's an antichrist gospel. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Only those who are looking for the shining appearance of Jesus' glory from them will have it. Be it unto you according to your faith, Jesus said. And as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. We have to believe as the Scripture hath said, quote unquote. 13. Looking for the blessed hope and appearing, that's epiphania, a shining forth. That's what it means. Looking for the blessed hope and a shining forth of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice that this does not speak of the physical coming of the Lord, but of the coming of his glory in us. Epiphania here speaks of Jesus' coming in us and is distinct from parousia, which speaks of his personal presence or coming. Right? That's two things. The beginning of the tribulation, the epiphania comes. At the end of the tribulation, the parousia comes. That's his personal presence or coming, physical coming. And he is shining forth, and he is coming in his saints before he comes for his saints. To this end, he sacrificed himself. 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Will it happen? Well, of course it will. In those who are the elect, right? And purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. So the man-child is made up of those who are the first fruits company to manifest the glory of this purity. Those who fight the good fight of the faith shall have this epiphany of Jesus. Either as the man-child or as the woman, he leads into this understanding. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, listen, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. Oh, that's epiphania. Like Paul, those who have loved his shining forth in them shall have the crown of righteousness. Jesus was called the first fruits, who, as a reformer, imparted himself into his disciples through the word and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Then they went forth as a corporate body to pass this on to others. And today, a corporate body of reformers is about to be revealed to do the same with a much larger portion of the church, because the church is worldwide now, not just in the Middle East, right? And signs and wonders will cover the earth. Now, here's a portion of a prophetic warning we shared earlier from Brandon Biggs at the last days. Also, we need to pray over our water supply, he says. Brandon doesn't share any more about the water supply in this video. However, I read Bill Gates or his organization plans to buy up water suppliers. Given his depopulation agenda, this cannot be good. Okay, you can pray that down. And he continues, I saw an article from Fox News saying that Trump and Bibi have agreed on a two-state solution. This is one of the things from the Abraham Accords. And they were saying how they wanted to make a two-state solution. And they were agreeing upon it. And I have spoken before that if they do this two-state solution, 3 days later, the New Madrid fault line will go off and America will be divided in half. Okay, my note here is I have said this for at least 30 years, the same thing, okay. I believe the New Madrid will go off, but it will be greatly diminished compared to the dreams and visions because of prayers for God's mercy from his people. So when this happened, Brandon went on to say, I saw great big Chinook helicopters flying from the west to the central part of America carrying supplies. It sounded like the earth was shaking. They had so many helicopters over the affected area. Yes, they are prepared for this, believe it or not. They have storage places that they are prepared to run to this area. And this is where I said before, where I saw the lion's face carved into the side of a building. And I had warned everyone that I saw tumbleweeds going down Wall Street. Well, in the long run, we are going to lose Wall Street. There's no doubt about that. And the Lord told me, he said, to look at the lion's face. And I saw it was the building that was the New York Stock Exchange. The Lord was warning that if they divide Jerusalem, if they do a two-state solution, he's going to divide America. And I believe it will quake and crack, but not with the huge divide that is expected, okay, because of the dreams and visions. God can lessen anything. He can't remove some things because they're biblical. They have to happen, okay. So he went on to say, I saw the nation split down the middle and all the bridges going down from west to east completely destroyed on the Mississippi River. And I saw from Texarkana, Texas to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I saw over 1,800 people die. Now, see, here's places that can be changed. You know, the complete shattering of all the bridges and the 50-mile divide in the midst of the country and all that stuff. That can be changed. That can be lessened. Okay? It can't be annulled because we have revelations that this has to happen. I saw the massive building at ORU, Oral Roberts University, was split down the middle and on fire when this earthquake happens. Houses that were built on cinder blocks were completely leveled and destroyed. I can understand that. Houses built on a foundation did better. Yep. I saw thousands of people died when this event took place. And this is why I've always told people we must not divide Jerusalem for when we do 3 days after. Now I want you to hear me. That's how strong this world was. This word was, excuse me. I saw the Liberty Bell ringing and the old cast iron bells ringing when this event happens. 3 days after Jerusalem is divided and agreed upon, there will be 3 days and God will divide America. Yes, I agree. And we must pray that this does not take place, at least not at the level of which he is warning. Warnings are so that you pray, right? This announcement has been shared on multiple news channels and including the Jerusalem Post. Pray. I do not believe it will be stopped, only lessened. I've taught for many years that the man-child ministry of Jesus will begin when the New Madrid goes off. Okay, this is a sign of the beginning of the man-child restoration. Okay? And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. To the extent of what the visions from the past say, no, I don't believe it's going to be that bad, because God can lessen any prophecy. They have to come if the Bible says they have to come. That's for sure. And I have taught for many years that when they draw the dividing of Israel, this two-state solution, when that happens, that the New Madrid may go off and a lot of other things may happen. So, the Lord bless you, saints. We'll take this for what it's worth. We'll soon find out, you know, I believe, very quickly. The Abraham Accords have been agreed upon by Netanyahu and Trump. That's not the only two, I believe, but they're drawing more people into this agreement now. All right, God bless you and keep you. Amen.